We're excited to be here. Amen. And it's nice to see many of you here. To all the pastors and the reverends, you're welcome. It's nice to have you here. Wow. My family members are also here. Bishop Nikki, Reverend Kofi. Their wives are somewhere. The children are somewhere. They're also welcome. But this evening, I think it is proper that we should hear something from Bishop Patrick first before we continue. Bishop Patrick is always with us, and we want to just hear his voice. We haven't heard him for a little while. Bishop Patrick, please.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. Yeah. Tonight I just came to be a part of the celebration. No, I'm not eschatos. I'm reasonable service. Yeah. But tonight I just came to share into the wisdom that is coming our way. There are some people who are wise, and it shows in their ministry. And we are lucky to have one such man here. And he has, UD is a family. He has been around for many, many years. And that's why I'm also here, Bishop Saki, to receive. So those who don't listen, I don't know why you are here. Because I came with an agenda. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you all for coming also.
Come on, put your hands together for Bishop Patrick. Hallelujah. Amen. Bishop Patrick, we'd like to adopt you here also so that you'll be a dual citizen like some people say they are dual citizens. Yes. So reasonable eschatos. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. Well, just as Bishop Patrick said, we are here to hear something. Hallelujah. The speaker for tonight is somebody we are privileged to have known for many years. And we were all around Legon campus around the same time. But most important is that he's part of a certain group of men of God. Bishop Dag was a few years ahead, I think, with Bishop Saki. And he was also Bishop Jesse Saki. They were all within a few years. And it's a fire that was lit a long time ago. I told you that he's coming to talk to us about the Holy Spirit because he lives a life directed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And every time it's been my privilege to pass by his church because we are working, myself and those who work with me. We always leave on a cloud. Do you understand what I say on a cloud? You have heard something sweet, something encouraging, something good, been reminded. Even today at home, my home people. Oh, just the little around the table. Oh, it was too nice. So there's so much expectation in my spirit. Tell your neighbor that, listen. Tell your neighbor, listen, take your watch off, put it in your pocket. Tonight, we're coming to hear something. And you cannot speak about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost will not arrive. It's not possible. You know, I want us to watch a very short video which tells us about this man of God's ministry. He has an international ministry. I need to tell you that he is more strongly connected to Bishop Dag than some of you who are Bishop Dag's church members. He's a Healing Jesus board member. And I think that the video will give us a better intro. And then after that, we'll welcome him up to the pulpit.
Jesse Saki is a revivalist and a consecrated bishop presiding over Revival House of Holy Fire, a ministry with branches. He is also the president of Jesse Saki Outreach, aiming at strengthening believers via online networks. As a minister with an apostolic style of calling, he has raised, appointed, and ordained pastors and reverend ministers in Ghana, America, and the United Kingdom. He has traveled extensively by the grace of God, preaching and teaching with tangible signs, wonders, and operating in the prophetic with marvelous testimonies of the power of God to deliver, heal, and take people to the next dimensions of their destiny. He carries an unusual revelatory grace to communicate God's word with power, and thus has published a number of books such as concepts and practices in ministry. The lost church, possessing the kingdom and things that accompany salvation. He is married to Reverend Mrs. Harriet, with 4 children coming up in the ministry. Now be blessed with this gift of God.
Church, I want you to rise to your feet, giving honor to whom honor is due. Help me to bring to this pulpit the international ministry, the international speaker, a father, a bishop, a son of Bishop Doug, Bishop Jesse Saki. Hey, I can't hear you. Are you there? Hallelujah.
Wow. Well, hallelujah. It's a good thing to be here. Amen. And I'm so excited to be here. As Mommy was saying, I have also been looking forward to coming here because I've been watching things happening here. Good to see you. Amen. And it's an honor to be here. Amen. I saw the concert. I watched it. And you need to check my comment that I put there. Yes, it's. I said this. I will say it. You go and check it. Amen. But it's so wonderful to be here in your 5-star church. Amen. Yes, it's so nice, so beautiful, and we thank God for what He's doing here. Amen. Oh, please take your seats. Amen. And I thank you for inviting me to be here. It's a big honor. Amen. And we want to celebrate God for the gift that He has given to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you know who I'm going to talk about, so you have started clapping already, and I love that one. Hallelujah. I said, we are so blessed to be part of a very peculiar person, an anointed servant of God that God has given to this generation and beyond. Amen. We are blessed to have the prophet, Bishop Doug Heward Mills, to be our bishop, our pastor, our prophet, our teacher, our apostle, our evangelist, and a father to many of us. Amen. Hallelujah. I personally have benefited so much from him in so many ways. So many ways. If I want to talk about that tonight, we will start from 1986. Yes, coming all the way. Amen. And it's a blessing. I was at the Kodesh and I was telling them that very few people are doing what he's doing today by the grace of God. The crusades, go to an Akazu campus and see what is there, and the camps, all the things that are happening. And I said, I can sum it all up and say that this is a man God has raised to model a New Testament church in our generation. Yes, because everything that Jesus said we should do, most of them, you find him doing it. And he talks about it and encourages us that we must also follow suit and do the same things. Some have turned the church into a business. Some have turned the church into something else. But this is one man who is standing on the Great Commission and doing what the Lord wants us to do, winning souls and going everywhere and bringing people to the Lord. Amen. And he's a father to many. And his heart and his passion, as you see him on TV, when you meet him, it is the same way. Yes, he's always interested in everybody doing well. and following the will of God for your life. And I believe those of us who are associated with him, connected with him, we must count ourselves blessed and privileged to be doing the things that he's asking us to do. Amen. I always tell my sons and my daughter, all of them have been through first love. My son, my third born, is pastoring the New Jersey First Love Church. Amen. Yes. And my last one is also there at the First Love Center. You know, involved with the media. He's a center leader, something. I don't know. Amen. Yes. My daughter was in the choir. My son also was here. Pastor Josh. He's also now in the ministry with me. So God has blessed me and has blessed me again through Bishop, Prophet, and raising my sons also to be in the ministry. Amen. Yeah. I don't know whether I would have been able to raise them into the ministry if they were just with me. Yeah, me too, I don't know. But I believe that God has used him to do this. Amen. Yeah. And my son in New Jersey, he sleeps with his messages. It's on all the time. And he's one person, honestly, I never thought he would be a pastor. He wasn't a bad boy, but he was in the media and all those things. The next I knew, he was preaching, going on outreach. I followed him one time on his outreaches in New Jersey. I said, hey, ask for this one. Then I realized how he's been listening to the messages since he was little. You know, he would sit there eating and listening and all the time. And so that is what the Lord. So I want you to know that you are privileged and blessed to be in such a ministry. I tell my children, when we were like them, we didn't hear the things that you guys are hearing. If we had heard those things at your age that we you are hearing, I think we would have been flying somewhere. But we thank God for what we have received. But I want you to know that God has started you early. And because he has started you early, you will also go far. Oh, those who are saying amen, it's going to happen for them. Amen. So it's a blessing. So let's celebrate this gift of God very well tonight. Let's appreciate the gift that God has given to us. Appreciate the prophet. Bless the Lord for him. Amen. Hallelujah. I honor him because he has rescued me from so many things. From health issues to everything, ministry, everything. The Lord has used him to bless me. Amen. And above all, wise counsel. I was telling mommy today that some things he said years ago that didn't make sense to any of us. They are already happening. We have seen them happen. So let's take the things that he shares with us seriously, because they are very prophetic. Amen. And we thank God for that. Amen. We want to celebrate Bishop Patrick in the house. And bless God. Hallelujah. Bishop, it's an honor to have you here with us tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we have our own mommy in the house. Our own pastor. Our own bishop. Our own everything. I am watching some of you and watching the way you are clapping and appreciating. How many are married here? How many are married here? Yeah. Some of you don't know that it was what she put in that made the person say yes to you. You don't know that one. Amen. Yes. Yeah. You think you it was your raps. Your raps didn't work. Amen. Some of you are standing here. You got to know some scripture for the first time because she quoted it. At least you should appreciate that one. Amen. Yeah. But I believe we have a great woman of God with us, an anointed woman of God who loves the Lord, loves people. So I want us to celebrate Episcopal Sister Dr. Joy Philip Bruce. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being who you are. I love her smile. She's always smiling. Always comfortable. I share fellowship with her. And she says I get blessed every time we come together. Yes, stirs up some things in us. So it's a blessing. Amen. And all the pastors who are here, all the reverend ministers, God bless you. And your wonderful family. I just fell in love with them today when I met them. I've been seeing photos of them, but when I saw them, I said, these are the great men. Amen. And the next person to celebrate is yourself. Amen. Yes. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we are here for the Holy Spirit. For these two nights, amen. We are here for just one personality, the Holy Spirit, amen. So if you are the one the Holy Spirit is going to visit in these two nights, why don't you lift up your voice and give the Lord a shout of praise? Are you sure you are shouting? Let the heavens know that you are here, ready for the word of the Lord, ready for the Holy Spirit. If you are expecting the Holy Spirit to visit you tonight, let the heaven know that you are ready for what the Lord is about to give to you. Yes. Bless up in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here already because we have gathered in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We pray that glorify your great name. We are hungry for you. We want to encounter you. We want to encounter the reality of the word of God, of the promise that you have given to us in this generation. We pray that open our eyes of understanding, open our spiritual ears, cause us to walk in the way that you want us to walk, and to experience what you want us to experience. We bless your only name, and we vow to give you glory for all that you have done and what you will still do. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for all the precious people that are gathered here. We thank you for your visitation. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving, and all shall say amen. All right. Clap for the Holy Spirit like your hands are yours. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I bring you greetings from Takoradi, the oil city, where God dwells and visits other places. You can also claim it for yourself. Amen. Yes, but we believe God dwells there and visits other places. So that is what, amen. And greetings from everybody there. Hallelujah. Please stand with me to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19. And for this one, I prefer the Message Bible, if you have it. I prefer the Message Bible, if you have it. I was having my quiet time, and as I was reading this, and I just love what is there. Amen. And I believe it will speak to us, the Message Bible. It says, now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? We've never heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us. Then he asked them, how were you baptized then? Asked Paul. In John's baptism, then Paul said, that explains it. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people will be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you are ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. Verse 5 to 7. And they were, as soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on them. Note that one, on their heads. And the Holy Spirit entered them. Paul put his hands on their heads and the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. The King James says that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 people there that day. Thank God there are more than 12 here. But any 12 can be blessed tonight. Those who said amen is for them. He said, God did powerful things through Paul. Things quite out of the ordinary. This is where I want somebody to take note. That Paul did some extraordinary things because the Holy Spirit was on him. And then, out of the ordinary, I see 1,000 people about to do things out of the ordinary. That is why we have gathered here these two nights. That the Lord will prepare somebody to enter into extraordinary things. And very soon, I am looking at some people here and I declare to you that you shall be known for extraordinary things. Amen? Yeah, so start getting ready for it. Hallelujah. The word got around and people started taking pieces of clothing, handkerchiefs and scarves and the like that had touched Paul's skin and then touching the sick with them. The touch did it and they were healed and made whole. Amen. I want to speak to us tonight about the supernatural life of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And add something to it. The greater and better dimension of our Christian life. Hallelujah. Well, this scripture that we have just read, the people that are spoken about there, they are somehow the exact representation of how today's Christian life has become like. Amen. We have been calling ourselves Christians, that we follow Jesus. But seriously, if you look into the Bible, you will realize that the stories we read about, the things we read about the people, the things they did by the power of the Holy Spirit, very few of us can associate with those things currently in our lives. We read them as Bible stories, but hardly experience them. If we experience them, then it's a few men of God and women of God who are anointed and are doing these things. We watch them, admire them, and sometimes we wish we were like them. How many know what I'm talking about? And some also don't even wish that they are like them because they are thinking of beloveds, they are thinking of whether they are going with this one or that one. I mean, preaching time, right? Preaching time, somebody has taking his phone and is sending a message to a sister in the church. You know? No, I hope those people are not here. No. I know them in the church in Afghanistan, but not here. You know, the people here don't look like they do such things. They are very, very innocent. You know? So even when the Holy Spirit is being preached about, you know, being in a church like this where our prophet is always talking about the anointing, the Holy Spirit, is it not strange that there are people in the church yet they don't even have one teaspoon of? I don't want to go there, you know. Yeah, but seriously, we are in a season and an era where the Lord wants to manifest the Holy Spirit through you. You see, you didn't say amen. Yeah. Because that is not what you are expecting. You say, I know you are thinking of your degree that you want to get. I know you are thinking of the wedding you want to have. Actually, somebody is in this service. He's expecting an answer from a sister tonight. I think I have prophesied. At least there are two brothers tonight who are expecting an answer. If they will be truthful, they will come and give their testimonies. And if you like, I will add it to it that the sisters will say yes. You see how they are happy. Yes. You know one of them. Okay, mommy says she knows one of them. So we have started the service. The Holy Ghost is already moving. And tonight, somebody is about to receive a visitation of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. No, these are supposed to be regular everyday things if we are working with the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to somebody? No, when I said two brothers are here, I wasn't joking. These are things that God even wants us to, as it were, play with. Huh? That we are playing. But as we are playing, we are receiving impartations of the Holy Spirit. And I just touched you, but then you said, oh, I am healed. That's the reality of it that God wants us to enjoy. Amen? So Paul comes to these people and then he asked them. He saw them having church. Then he realized something was missing. So he asked them that, what kind of church are you? What kind of believers are you? Because something that should be there is not there. When Paul walked in, he was expecting to see them praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues, prophesying to themselves, somebody preaching in tongues and speaking in tongues, somebody interpret. Tomorrow we'll go more into that. Right? Yeah. But he was expecting to see something he was not seeing. So he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Then they said, oh, we don't even know there is anybody called the Holy Spirit. We haven't, who is that? We haven't even heard that there is anything called the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine being in church and you have never heard anything about the Holy Spirit? Amen? Because when Peter was preaching in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 from verse 37, he said, they asked him that, so men and brethren, what shall we do? Then he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then you shall receive the Holy Spirit. So if you say you are a Christian, born again Christian, you are not just supposed to come, lift up your hand and say, I receive Jesus. The next experience that you must have is that you must have a tangible evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And this is what is missing in many Christians' lives. The reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is what is gone. We're talking this afternoon. I said, even the church, Bishop, we have learned how to do it. That without the Holy Spirit, we can do the service from the beginning to the end. And strategies. And some people cannot even tell whether the Holy Spirit came to church or not. You know, can you imagine that sometimes we pray and Jesus said something. He said, I am going to my Father, but I will not leave you like that. I will ask him and he will bring another comforter, which is your helper to help you. He will be with you. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, right? I will not leave you destitute. So this Holy Spirit will come. John 14, 16, 17, he was talking about that. And he said, he shall be with you. And he shall be in you. So if Jesus said, he shall be in us, I didn't say stay there. So, you see you as a comforter. Amen. And you will never be the same. All right. Okay. So Jesus said he will be with us forever. He will teach us all things. He will remind us of things and all of that to come. So how come that when we come, we say, let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. The person who's supposed to be with us and in me. And this, no, Romans 8:14 said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many are sons of God here? Children of God, okay? All right. Do you realize that sometimes we even forget that there is somebody called the Holy Spirit? Right? So, this is how far we have gone. And it's not you alone, no, all of us. Right? We have shifted from the format that Jesus gave to us to operate as children of God. All right? The Holy Spirit is the main agent in this New Testament dispensation. In the Old Testament, you saw that God was speaking, the Father was speaking. Jesus also came. He came to do all the things that he said. When he was leaving, he said, I will ask the Holy Spirit to now come and take over. And he said, he will be with you forever, for life. So he doesn't come and leave. He is supposed to be permanently with us, to lead us and to guide us. The life that we are supposed to live is more than just attending church. So that if you are tired, you don't want to come. Your shepherd has to come and chase you. Somebody has to call you. Some of us, we have received 7 phone calls to be here. People have to come and call you. If they don't bring a bus, you won't come. Right? Oh, am I in church or we are going to church? Okay. Amen. Yeah. So, it is because the Holy Spirit is absent. So, we are trying to do things our own way. We have tried to craft our own version of Christianity. You know, we do other things and then we try to fit in God's more. Especially when we have problems. And then we need money. And then we need beloved. And that we need all kinds of... Then we remember somebody is called God. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is the one who is supposed to help us, lead us, guide us to live this supernatural life. Somebody say supernatural life. So somebody, you are a student, you are a health worker, whatever you are, but you have another life that you are supposed to be living. And actually, that is the real life. It is the life of the supernatural. Amen? And that life of the supernatural is powered by the Holy Spirit. It is engineered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, you are flesh and blood. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you are no more the same. You become a different kind of person. Amen? Many of us are walking around and we look like ordinary people. But in the books of heaven, you are not an ordinary people. You are an extraordinary person that if you knew how God wants you to function here on this earth, and I pray that tonight the Lord will speak to somebody, that tomorrow night the Lord will speak to somebody, that your journey into the supernatural will begin from tonight. That you will be in your lecture room and then suddenly the other side of you will start showing. You see, people sometimes are walking around nice hairstyle with nice pedicure and manicure, physicure, body cure, all of them. All the cures, you know. But in a split second, when the anointing hits the person, the way she will start manifesting, you say, hey, you know, the person has switched over. In the same way, when you are also moving in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, one of these days, may you be moving around, then suddenly an anointing begins to show in your life. Something begins to manifest in your life. Then people realize that, hey, we never knew you carry such power. May this happen for 1,000 people. May this come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. You know, but these are not things we are expecting. We are expecting that someone will propose to us. We are expecting that somebody will say that, oh, this is an envelope for you. We are expecting that somebody will come and say, oh, I have a gift for you. And these are the things we are expecting. We are not expecting some power to drop upon our lives. You see, as I'm talking, they are just sitting there looking at me. You see, because they are not ready for such things. Yeah. These are the people that are looking for beloveds. If I had said receive beloveds right now, you should have seen the reaction here. No. I don't mean you. Okay? So, you see, right from the beginning, you saw that the Holy Spirit was at work. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. Verse 3, it said, and the Spirit of the Lord was brooding upon the face of the waters. Then verse 3, the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Without the Holy Spirit, creation could not have started. Everything supernatural is engineered by the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit presence, all we are left is the natural and nothing supernatural. And that is what many of us are walking in. We are too natural to be supernatural. Yeah, we are walking in our identity. Whose son are you, Mr. Minson's son? My mother is this and that. I come from here and there and there. I am offering this course. Nothing supernatural. Even now that you have been born again for 10 years, when they ask you to speak about yourself, I can tell you, you will never say anything spiritual about yourself. Yes. We will never say anything spiritual about ourselves. You won't say, I prophesy. You won't say, I speak in tongues. Who are you? I am so and so. The son of this, the daughter of that. My father was the professor who first lectured at the faculty of whatever. He was the first dean of the whatever. Those are the things we will say. I come from here and here and there and there. My uncle is Kofi Annan, the one who died, the UN Secretary General, right? Yes, and then this is my father's car, and all of that. Those are the things we will say. I finished my first degree, now I'm doing my second degree. That's okay. Now I'm preparing to go to Scotland for my master's, and things like that. Oh, this is my beloved, and things like that. Oh, we are having our wedding next whatever, and all the things like that, you see. All these things that we have been talking for the last 7 minutes, nothing spiritual that, oh, I see visions. Oh, I can prophesy, I dream dreams. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he made me do this and that and that. Have you heard such things before? Yeah, but that is how we have become. We have been reduced to the natural. But let me tell you, right from the beginning, God wanted us to be supernatural. So the Bible says God created man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. The breath was not oxygen. The breath of life was the Holy Spirit that God poured into Adam. And Adam stood up. And that is how come when God wanted to name the animals, he said, Adam, see what names you give to them. And God never changed one name that he gave to them because it was the Spirit of God in him that was giving those names to them. So it is like the name I would have given to them is the same thing that you have said. So there is no need for a change. Amen? Until Adam lost it by disobeying God. When God said that the day you shall eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Did he die? He didn't die. He lived hundreds of years more to 900 and something before he died. So God was not talking about dying and sleeping in a coffin. He was talking about losing that spiritual aspect, the supernatural part of him. The life that was him, he said, this life cannot cohabit with sin of disobedience. So the Holy Spirit left and he was left to be a natural person. Unfortunately, that's where we all came from. Are you understanding that? Yeah. So since that time, thank you. God bless you. Since that time, God has been looking for the opportunity to bring us back to the life of the supernatural. So he started moving in people. And I can pick so many people. But Moses, the power of God that came upon him, a man could stand before Pharaoh and order 10 plagues on Egypt. I mean, which natural person can do such a thing? He could turn the Nile into blood. Just pouring water, it turns into something. He could lift his hand and then flies will fill the whole land. Frogs will come and all those things. Locusts will fill the land. I mean, if you like, with all your physics and all the things you have learned, go and try it. It won't happen. Amen? But then, that is the power of the Holy Spirit that God always wanted to demonstrate through man. So since the fall of Adam, the Lord misses what he wanted to do through man. When he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, he was talking about people who represent him here adequately on earth, that it will be like he himself was here working. Are you understanding that? Yes. And so all the signs and wonders that Moses did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. What Elijah did, Elisha came and did twice, double. I mean, they could call for fire from above and all of that. It was all the manifestation of the workings of the Holy Spirit in the life of human beings. And that is how God wanted us to function. Are you getting that? So when Jesus was about to come, John the Baptist gave a prophecy. He said, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. But there is one coming after me, Matthew 3:11, whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. When he comes, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? And with fire. Amen. Imagine a human being who has the fire of God in you. What is going to happen? Amen. When this power comes, it turns you into an extraordinary person. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. But no spirit can operate within the jurisdiction of the earth without a physical vessel, a physical human being. They can operate in the spirit, but they can never operate legally here on earth until they find a vessel. Both evil spirits and the Holy Spirit need vessels to work with. So that is why God breathed into the human being his spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can find means of expression and be able to work in us. Amen? So look at Samson, a human being, but he could rip a lion apart. Go and try it. If you like, let me take you to the zoo. Open the cage and enter and see what is going to happen to you. But here is a human being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He could rip a lion apart with a jawbone of an ass. He could kill 1,000 men. The man could be tied up and he would just break the thing like the thread they used to do their hair. Amen. The man woke up one morning, went to the city gate, without struggle, lifted the whole gate and carried it away. I mean, that was the kind of person. And with just one stretch, broke pillars and brought the whole palace down. It takes the supernatural power of God for something like that to happen. I have good news for somebody. That is how the Lord wanted us to function. But we lost all of that. So when John the Baptist prophesied, he said, there is hope. And tonight I came with hope for somebody. That we are not going to be weak human beings like this forever. But there is one coming. His name is Jesus. When he comes, he shall fill you, baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. And that is a promise that Jesus Christ himself also came. He himself, when he came, also repeated the same thing. You know, he was the Son of God, but when he came, it had to take the Holy Spirit for him to be conceived in Mary's womb. When the angel announced to Mary, you are going to bring forth the son, said, how shall this be? I don't know any man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and the power of the Most High shall come upon you. And that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of the Most High God. So Jesus was born. The Bible says when he came to be baptized, he was praying. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says he was praying. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Ghost came and anointed him and filled him up. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Are you understanding that? Yeah. And it was a hope of the restoration of what he lost in the garden of Adam. Amen. If you check the genealogy of Adam, let you get to understanding this. You will realize that when God said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, what was he talking about? Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 38. When we read the genealogy of Jesus, sometimes we just gloss over it because, oh, this one begat this and begat that. How many know what I'm talking about? This one begat this and this one was about. But look at this. We can't read all of it. I know you'll be bored, but the verse 38. It says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son. Are you understanding that? So who did God lose? God, when he lost Adam, he lost the son. So when Jesus came, he came as the second Adam. And when he came as the second, the Father had to now announce that I lost one son in the garden. But this is the restoration of the son because the Holy Ghost came upon him. Am I talking to somebody? Yes, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then when he was in the temple preaching to them, the Bible did not say God said, this is my beloved son. At the age of 12. He vanished. We never heard anything about him. Then he began to be 30. Then he appeared. When he came, he said, baptize me. John baptized him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Then came an announcement from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Amen? Yeah. So when we also came, God is also putting us through the same process. He said in John 1:12 that as many as received him, and believe on his name. He gave them there to become the sons of God. So how many sons of God are here? Amen. Yes. When Jesus was pronounced as a son of God, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And that is what identified him as a son of God. We say we are the sons of God, but we are supposed also to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So that the Holy Ghost can work. That's why he says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the church members. They are the dancing stars. They are the movie stars. They are the airport stars. They are the pastors. They are the bishops. But those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Somebody shout, I am a son. And if you are a son, then the Holy Spirit must have a place in your life. Am I talking to somebody? The Holy Spirit uses sons to demonstrate. And because we don't see ourselves as sons, but we see ourselves as children of God, the Holy Spirit is like, these are children, so we can't work with them. That's why many Christians are walking around, but there is no manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But I pray that tonight to tomorrow night, you will graduate from the place of a child of God and become a son of God. When they say sons of God, they are not talking about male versions of human beings. He's talking about those who are matured spiritually to be able to handle some things, some graces, some anointing, some power that is going to be given unto you. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. So that is what the Lord is seeking to do. That you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will begin to do extraordinary things. Oh, you see, they are not ready for such things. Amen. So God wants to express himself by the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. So if you are a pastor, the Lord expects that after telling people, open to John chapter 4, verse 5, and all those things, there will also be something supernatural about us in terms of manifesting the true existence of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is what we are also so far from and so separated from, because our consciousness of the Holy Spirit is sometimes very, very, very minimal. We don't even remember that there is anybody called the Holy Spirit. We remember our father's name, our auntie's name, our beloved's names and all those things, but the Holy Spirit, no. We don't even remember that there is anybody like that. But from tonight, I see that somebody is not forgetting anymore. You are constantly going to remember that the Holy Spirit has been given to me to be with me, to be in me, and to abide with me forever. And whatever the Holy Spirit used those other people to do, there is no difference or a different Holy Spirit right now. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus said he will be here forever, he is still here and actually in you. What has changed is us and not him. Amen? And so we are not allowing him to flow through us. And so we can sing, we can dance, we can do everything, but minus the Spirit. Minus the Spirit. Amen? Yes, we can come, dancing stars, and then... But the person doesn't even feel a drop of the anointing. But can you imagine that this dancing, it can bring healing, it can bring deliverance. Somebody can be watching people dancing. Imagine a blind man walks into this building and all the dancing stars are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this blind man hears people dancing and singing. But the anointing is so strong that he said, let me open my eyes and see those who are dancing. I don't think you are ready for that. I came to declare to somebody, it is coming. Oh, I said, it is coming. One of these days, you will be here dancing. But when you lift your leg like this, somebody will fall under the power of God. Oh, I don't think you are ready for such things. Get ready for church about to be turned upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to somebody? Look, we can do all the nice dancing, right? But that will not persuade somebody to really surrender his life to Jesus Christ until he can feel some unction flowing from the dancing, from the sinking. And God wants us to do everything by the Spirit. Am I talking to somebody? That is why after Paul prayed for them, the Bible says something supernatural happened. Handkerchief from Paul just touched his body. And then it comes on somebody and he said, this one touches the person. And the person says, I am healed. I mean, this is something supernatural. Do we have handkerchiefs? Here is mine. Do you also have yours? So if Paul's handkerchief was healing people, ask your neighbor, what is your handkerchief doing? Your handkerchief is only for tears of that beloved who disappointed you. Oh! Somebody's handkerchief was healing people. Yours is for tears and for disappointment. Somebody said, no way, it is changing. It's about time my handkerchief also does something. Are you understanding that? Yes. The things we see in the Bible, we must not read them as history. We must also see that this is the blueprint. And last time, prophet was here preaching about the blueprint, right? And he said, we must follow the blueprint. And I remember he charged this church that the blueprint has been given to you. So follow it. Huh? So the blueprint includes signs and wonders and miracles. Not only by men of God, but by the sons of God. You are the person I'm talking about. Oh, how many are believing that one? Hallelujah. That you are going to start walking in signs and wonders. That is why we are here for these two nights. Are you ready for that? That the Lord will use you to, because the Holy Spirit is just looking for people that he will use. When he saw Jesus was ready, he came and filled him. Right? And then the Bible says Jesus went into the wilderness, Luke 4:14, and returned in the power of the Spirit. He came to Nazareth and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to release them that are bound, and to set the captives free, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. And then when he closed the book, said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, as God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? As God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing good and all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many know God is with you? But something is missing. Where are all the other things? God was with him, but these things were happening because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. You are anointed with your makeup. Right? Your foundation and your eyeshadow, your lipstick, lip gloss, your nice hairstyle, and all the things. You too, your mustache and your beard that you have shaped. That is what you are anointed with. Some are anointed with cream and anointed with all kinds of perfumes. Still, nothing is happening. Am I talking to somebody at all? Your anointing is about the beauty. It is not about healing the sick. And then we are working out. You are even looking for more colors of lipstick. And then, instead of looking for the Holy Ghost to anoint you. Am I talking to somebody? Somebody did her hair today. She's already thinking of the next style for the next time. Those are the things that we are worried about. But not to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. But I see it is changing from today. That somebody is here. Your hair is very nice, but you are also loaded with power. Oh, where are the sisters who are loaded with power? Where are the sisters with all your pedicure and manicure? But when you lift your hands, the sick are healed, the brokenhearted are restored. That is what the Lord is looking for. Somebody shout, I am the one. Very soon we will hear something. Breaking news. And the breaking news is that you have started working in signs and wonders. Oh, I don't think you like this. I don't think you like this. If you knew what this kind of lifestyle is, you will be rejoicing. So Jesus also comes, and then he introduces his disciples to them. He said, come. And he said, I'm giving you power. Go and cast out devils. Heal the sick and all the things. Go and preach the gospel. See, this should be the life of a Christian. That as we move around, we are sharing the word of God. We are praying for sick people. It should be everyday affair. It should not be something that is so strange, but it is so missing that we can't even identify ourselves with it. But when we lift up our hands and we say we are the ones the Lord must choose, and the Holy Ghost will find us, we will begin to hear breaking news everywhere that things are beginning to happen, and that in a hostel somewhere around here, a miracle has taken place. Not because mommy went to pray for somebody, but you prayed for somebody and the person has been healed. Who is the Lord talking about in this place? I mean, are you ready for such things? Are you ready for such things? So Jesus called another 70 also. And he said, go with this power and go and do the same thing. All that he was trying to tell us is that this is how it should be. Not that it should be walking around just living the ordinary, normal, natural life. But we must activate the supernatural life. Become vessels willing and ready to be used by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't go anywhere. The only problem is he's not finding willing vessels. People who say we are available, use us. So Jesus called them. Let's try and close up. Jesus called them and he started talking to them about what he's going to do when he resurrected from the dead. Then he said unto them, go and wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard. We are going to start the church. He said, I will build my church, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, they were excited. Peter and John, oh, Charlie, let's go and look for a meeting place. Let you go and do the signboard. You go and buy instruments. And you go with the, who are going to be the dancing stars? Who are going to be all this? They started doing that. Said, Jesus was standing there and said, look at them. Look at them. They don't know that it takes something. So they said, look, these things you people are talking about, that is not it. Go and wait until you are endued with power from on high. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then go and start the church. Who am I talking to somebody? Can I prophesy to you? It is coming back again. I say it is coming back again. And these are tax collectors, fishermen, carpenters, and all those people. I don't know who you are, but you have been marked from heaven that one of these days, miracles are going to happen. By the time people open their eyes, you are the person who is standing there. You have just come from lectures, but miracles are happening. You are in the lecture room and somebody collapses. You stretch your hand, the person comes back to life. Am I talking to real people here? Am I talking to people that God is about to use? It looks like God has gone on leave because we are not availing ourselves for the Holy Spirit to use us. It looks like the God of the Bible is different from the God that we are serving today. We struggle and struggle till we see one miracle. There are people who lived and died. They never saw one miracle in their lifetime. But thank God, in your generation, in my generation, the Lord is raising up people that are going to be carriers of the power of the Holy Ghost. Am I talking to somebody here? Hallelujah. So Jesus did all these things to demonstrate to us that it is possible for human beings to become supernatural by giving them power that they should go and do these miracles. So they gathered in the upper room. And the Bible says, when they saw, the Holy Spirit saw that these people are now available, he came like a rushing mighty wind and filled all of them. And there was fire on top of each one of them. And they spoke in tongues. And then the Bible says they stepped out and great signs and wonders and miracles began to be. That's how the church started. The church that we have come to continue and have changed it. That is how it started. It started with the Holy Ghost filling people in the upper room. And they were speaking in tongues. And they were speaking in tongues that people could even hear. People were speaking Russian. They were speaking Arabic. They were speaking all kinds of things. Amen? You, your tongues, we don't even know where it comes from. Amen? We did Holy Ghost baptism for somebody. And it was But another time we did the Holy Ghost baptism for somebody. And this thing that it also happened. A sister, she received the Holy Ghost baptism and prophesied the same day. And what she was saying, all of us there, we knew it was true. Am I talking to somebody? So the Lord is saying that this is the kind of life that he wants us to live. A life of the Holy Ghost actively working in us. We are doing well in church. That is beautiful. But there is something left. The supernatural power of God. That will begin to happen in your life. That you will begin to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you are standing here now, you are a container. Oh, I said you are a container. You are not a container carrying disappointment. You were not meant to carry sorrow. You were not meant to carry brokenheartedness. You were not meant by God originally to be carrying worry and anxiety and fears. You were supposed to be a carrier of power. Satan has just found a way to hoodwink you, to exchange the supernatural and put the natural there. And worse off, what will make you never be who God wants you to be. Paul told them and said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you not aware that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be in you? So as you are standing there, shake somebody and say, you are the temple. You are the carrier. You are the carrier of power. And tell the person, I can't feel the power when I touch you. I can't feel the power. I can't feel the power. No, can you touch electric wire and not feel anything? But I came to prophesy to somebody. A time is coming. You will become a carrier of power. A time is coming when the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And when you touch somebody, watch him. You will see that God is moving. A time is coming when you will finish singing. And as you are descending the steps and now you are coming down, receive it. You will see that the hand of the Lord is coming upon you. All over this place. Over there. The power of the Holy Ghost will be stirred up in you. A time is coming when we will see such manifestations. Oh, it is coming. Receive it. In the name of Jesus. Look. God wants to do supernatural things. Extraordinary things. with our lives, right? Receive it. Receive it. Let it come upon you. Receive it. Receive it. The Holy Ghost is here. It's all around us. He just wants us to avail ourselves so that he can start doing things with us. You are there. When I became saved, a few weeks after I became saved, I went to a fellowship. Somebody is receiving the healing anointing here. It just came upon you. It just came upon you. I saw fire drop on somebody. Fire. It is like liquid fire just dropping upon somebody. You know? And the Lord is anointing some people here that it's going to be wild. You know? Somebody, your ears are being opened right now. And you will begin to hear the voice of God more clearly. The power of God just came upon your life. The hand of the Lord is moving amongst the people, looking for some people. The power of God all over this place. Paladusha. Nekatata tumbali andaya. Lift up your hands and begin to pray and talk to God that, Lord, I am available. I am here. If you know the prophetic voice that is sitting on the inside of you, that is waiting to come out. The Holy Spirit has just been moving around you and great power. Oh, Lord. Mahatuka banadaya. Masatuka bandelekaha. Zondelebekayaha. You think you are just an usher in the church, but the power of God is resting in you. That is just waiting to come out. Oh my God. Lekabaya andahata. Zodi andahata yedaha. Shabariaha. Zomila nelelebahata dadadaba. Everybody pray in the spirit. If you cannot pray in the spirit, today is the day the Holy Ghost will fill your life in the name of Jesus. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit is ushering you in the name of Jesus. I see seven young men that are going to carry the power of God in a dimension that will be so strong in the name of Jesus. Your eyes are being opened in the name of Jesus. Why are you shaking like that? The power of God just came upon your life. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, take it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. May your ears be open. Move in another dimension. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Oh, mandala bayendeleba. Yeah, 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 yeah.